afternoon, Samira.
Hello.
Hi, Samira, you've been helping out at the Kochi Biennale. Tell us a little bit about it this year and who is the curator?
Well, the Kochi Biennale began in 2010 and it was started by these two artists from Kerala, Riyas Komu and Bose Krishnamachari. And essentially the Kerala government had approached them to try and find something accessible and open for contemporary art in the state. And then they came to the idea of a Biennale, which is like much more open form. So that's how they started, and they had the first one in 2012, another one 2014, and the most recent one in 2016. And they were like hugely successful. So now we're starting a new edition. This time it's going to have a woman curator, the first woman curator of the Kochi Biennale. And it's an extremely eminent artist called Anita Dubey, who's done a lot of like fiercely political work and wants to engage with her feminism through her curation. So she's hoping to invite a lot more marginalized voices, people that have come from oppressed backgrounds, women from all over the world, and focus more on the global south. And so that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a much more open and free Biennale.
Does she actually go out to find these people? Or like, how does, like, if they're marginalized, how does she contact them? Or how?
Yeah, well, one of the things is that she, for example, when she was younger, she was part of a really radical sculpture group in Kerala. And through her own network also, she knows a lot of different people, you know, and being a woman in the Indian art industry. But apart from that, actually, as part of the Kochi Biennale, she traveled across over 30 countries, including Malaysia, etc. So she was like going into the forests of Malaysia, and an artist collective from there called Pangrok Sulap, for example, are one of the artists that are coming. Like, they actually create screen prints by dancing on them. They're just a group. So she's open to collectives and open to like artistic collaboration. It isn't about just like an elite idea of high art that's put on the wall, you know.
Tell us, how does the Biennale impact the local community, and what is the interface with the local community?
Well, one of the really important basis of the Biennale is supposed to be engagement with the local communities, and also to get stories out in the world of the people that live there. So there's two ways. One is the heritage project that's going on, that's trying to maintain the area and the space and the historical buildings. Ancient history, literally, Kochi was founded roughly around early 14th century through this flood. And since then, it's had like traders from all over the world. There's over 44 communities in around 5 square kilometer area. So I think what they're trying to do is how is it through art that we can connect to the multiculturalism of the area? And I've been living in Fort Kochi for 2 months, and I'm observing something that I haven't seen across India recently, which is people from very different cultural backgrounds, very different religious backgrounds, kind of can coexist as neighbors and really let each other be. And for me, that's a real model. Like, I'm observing at night, you can hear, you know, in the evening, the mosque, and then you can hear church bells, and there's a temple down the road, and no violence. Like, literally, I can vouch for that there's no violence. So in terms of connecting with the local communities, one is also providing a platform for local artists, giving free tickets and free access to all the people that are part of the local community, making them as much part of employing them at one end, people, you know, fishermen, etc., who don't have trade anymore. And I think it's also about like finding respect for the community, is it that they can come and express themselves through the Biennale as well and have a good time, like a space of celebration.
You were mentioning that the local communities all have free tickets to participate,
yeah,
in all the events.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. You also mentioned earlier that there are people who are doing workshops right now and looking for the unsung heroes in the town, and Tell us
absolutely. Absolutely. So the Kochi Biennale Foundation, there's the Kochi Mitsuris Biennale exhibition that happens, but also lots of projects like all year round. For example, a residency that happens for, you know, local artists from India that haven't got as much exposure, that have an opportunity to display and live in Fort Kochi for a month. The current workshop we're having, a masterclass workshop of 1 month, is with Orijit Sen, where a group of 12 students have come and they're like exploring the city, and they're going to make graphic narratives of people who run the city, but we don't really know that, like, that the city is basically, the city runs because of them. And for example, the ferryman, or the man who makes the local papar, or the woman who supplies the cloths to the community. So it's actually, exactly, it's like stories of people that we haven't heard about.
Like the backbones of society that we take for granted.
Absolutely. And they also have really interesting individual lives. So,
what can we expect this year in terms, you were saying that they're also organizing events for children?
Yeah. So one of the really important things for us at the Biennale Foundation is like, how can we engage children and how can they enjoy art without having it to be something abstract? So the other thing we were thinking about is how can we set up the space for children to navigate and curate it themselves, like put arrows, make a game out of it. How do they, and very simple text. So we're going to have one text, which the artist puts, and a separate text for children and more story-like form. And we also want children to be able to run about freely, you know, this is a very open space. And not be restricted like in a museum. It's not supposed to be a white cube space at all, where you have to maintain distance and behave in a disciplined fashion. It's to be free. It's about free expression.
What at the end of the Biennale is left with the community? I mean, I assume it draws in a lot of tourists. Like how? What are the positives and the negatives of that impact?
Well, the thing is that the positives are definitely that people come from all across the world. So there's an economic development, which is the tourism industry, for example. And local, again, all the local businesses are doing really well, the spice trade, the perfumes. And at the end of it, I think that it's very good to get exposure, like an international exposure, because Kochi has always been looking out to the sea in some way. So it's always looking outwards. And therefore, the political homogenous politics of India right now, it's not going to entrench itself there because they see how big the world is, you know, you start thinking in a different level. So that's a very interesting impact, especially on the youth, like in all of Malayalam cinema now, Fort Kochi is becoming this area for youth to come and be a little freer. The negatives, of course, are that, you know, it's not necessarily that everybody's on the same page about treating this landscape and about the cultures there and can be imposing and littering, and there's a lot of issues with that. So there's a way we have to navigate tourism that's not exactly sensitive to the local communities.
And what ways are you trying to do that? Are you asking people to be sensitive, or how do you do that?
Well, one of the plans this time is to really have like a presentation or a kind of handout which I'm working on the communities in the area and tell their stories, but not in a way that's anthropological and putting them in the spot, kind of expressing that these are people that occupy the space with you, and you have to know that even though you've come to see an art festival, you're sharing their home, and they've kind of shared their home with us, you know, it's not about occupying space, it's about sharing it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what we want. We want to be able to show people the stories and be sensitive to them.
There be anything left? What is left of the art? Like, I assume some parts of it were packed up, but I remember the first time there was some
murals
yeah. and stuff like that.
Well, a lot of the art that's made is site specific, and some of the art, for example, the renovations that are done in all the properties are maintained. So then it's like all these properties, all these warehouses, you know, from the colonial times were completely lying fallow. Nothing was happening. And here they come, and now they're like quality exhibition spaces. So for year-round, they're for local artists to like have their own exhibitions. There is some site-specific work that's supposed to talk about the history of the area or like make some like public interventions, for example, making spaces for people to gather. Those are the kind of things we're looking at. But at the same time, because there's a lot of natural beauty in Kerala which you want to respect, we try to make a lot of temporary setups as well. Like the performance space is made with rubbish material collected from the area or reusable material, local bamboo, local thatch, so that you don't harm the landscape, you're not sucking it out, it's a symbiotic relationship.
Now that you know Auroville well, what could we offer to Aurovillians? Would you think that it would be a good thing for the schools to organize something to come there?
Yeah, I think it would be really exciting if different groups from Auroville came and visited. Of course, in an individual capacity, everyone should. But I think specifically for students, like I've engaged with a few students from Future School. And I really, there's like a spark of creativity there and this like free movement through space that I see a lot of potential in. So if they come, then perhaps I myself personally, and we can always arrange some kind of tours to take them through the Biennale, have discussions, especially discuss aspects that are related, for example, sustainable use of material and thinking in an abstract way, but also making public interventions which are very real. How can we make art in Auroville that will help the community? You know, how can we set up public spaces? And more importantly, how can we make space for free expression? I think it would be a really interesting interaction. So I would love for anybody from Auroville to come and to organize groups to be taken through there.
Tell us a little bit about the dates when it starts, and I assume people would have to start reserving spaces because it gets filled up.
Yeah, it's already, the bookings have already begun, so the sooner the people begin, the better it is. So the Biennale opens on 12th December 2018 and closes on 29th March 2019. And both the opening and the closing day will be huge celebrations, but everyone is welcome anytime in between. There's going to be lots of talks and lots of performances, panel discussions, walkthroughs. So there's plenty of things going on, you know.
Throughout the whole
throughout, yeah. There's going to be a 100-day artist cinema where 9 curators from across the world are going to choose films to be screened every day. And it's completely free for the public.
Thank you, Samira.
Thank you so much.